Diablo on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450, KBMW.
Good morning, my friends. 8 minutes after 9 o'clock. A cloudy sky going on right now, 39 degrees. Thank you for waking up with us here on the morning show, letting us be a part of your day and part of your life. I've been talking about this all week. I've been so excited to talk to these two, the cop and the ex-criminal. You've heard us advertising this. You've heard us talking about it. An unlikely friendship, message of hope and recovery from addiction. And I've got Dan and Tyler in here with me this morning. Gentlemen, good morning, and great to have you in here.
Good morning. Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about, you had a presentation last night in Winemere, and tonight you are going to be at the Wapton Event Center, and things get going at 6:30. Tell me a little bit about what your presentation entails. What does it cover?
Yeah, thank you for that, and thanks for the opportunity. I want to thank Richland County Health Department of inviting us down here. Kayla and Miranda, they've been great. The third time's the charm. Snow's right. Kept us out. And
COVID's
really,
kept you out. Yeah.
COVID kept us out. They've been working on this, and it's just awesome. Hey, it's a great message of, as you just said, Bill, hope and recovery. But it's also about respect and breaking down the stigma of addiction.
Mm-hmm. Right.
A lot of people get looked down upon. And how do you think people feel when they're addicted to alcohol or narcotics? I mean, nobody wants to be in that type of a world. Mm-hmm. So between Tyler and I was a 30-year career law enforcement officer, had some run-ins with Tyler when he was a juvenile, all confidential because he was a juvenile. But mm-hmm. Now he's an adult. We can talk about
you
everything.
You can talk about everything, right.
So, yeah, and it was just a weird situation. Where like 15, 20 years later, after never even hearing from about Tyler again, mm-hmm. and we had an off chance run-in with each other, and we'll leave it at that. More to come tonight.
All right.
But an off chance run-in where we've now been able to hook up.
All right. Well, Tyler, let's get your side of this. And if you can, and again, I don't want to give away too much because I want people to come tonight and hear your message. Tell us your story and kind of thumbnail it for us.
Well, I'm blessed to be here because I really shouldn't be here. I'm lucky to be alive. My life of addiction, you know, started out from the time I was young, and you know, it just progressed mm-hmm. like it does, and all of the things that come along with it. You know, the pain, the suffering. You know, trying to make the changes, unable to make, failure, mm-hmm. and then coming to a point in my life to where. The miracle does happen. You know, I always say miracles fall out of the sky, but they just don't hit everyone.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's great. And I got to promote this, too. You do have a book.
I do.
That
yes.
That you've written. Tell us a little bit about this.
Well, I wrote this book. It's called Broken Gifts. And it's just my life story, mm-hmm. you know, of addiction, pain, hope, recovery. And redemption,
right?
You know, it's making a difference in people's lives and showing that change is possible.
Tyler, as far as addiction goes, was it something that you really didn't know you were in it until you were in it?
Well, I was in it before I ever used drugs. Mm-hmm. It's a family disease, mm-hmm. So it started out before I had a choice,
right?
So then you have all of these things that factor into it. And then when you do make that choice to pick it up and try it because you're a kid, and that's what kids do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they try things out, and I just wasn't one of the lucky ones that it
right.
didn't grab a hold of.
And hopeless, just a hopeless feel, I would
imagine.
Yeah,
definitely.
You know.
Yep. Scary, hopeless, and, you know, you just feel alone.
So how did this work out that I've got the two of you sitting side by side in the studio this morning? How did this come to, again, without giving away too much?
Right. Well, even better than that is I rode in the same car with him all the way down here. So, hey, you know, we go back and with each other and we joke after our by chance meeting. I was the chief of police at the Bismarck Police Department at the time in around 2015. And when we hooked up, I don't trust a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Always be leery. And he wanted my phone number, so I gave him my cell phone number. So, and I thought, how's he going to explain that to his old buddies, how he's got the chief's phone number, you know? But, you know, the message for me that I really like to get out from the law enforcement side of this is that there's a public perception that, you know, police officers, you know, they're out there just to harass or out to arrest everybody and all that. And, you know, that comes with the job as far as arresting people at times. But in today's day and age, the most law enforcement, they know we need to work together. We need to work together as a community. We need to be non-judgmental, try to get these individuals that are struggling with addiction. The ripple effect that addiction has beyond that person is just humongous. You've got the family, you've got friends, you've got work. And I don't know if you know it or not, folks, but there is a fentanyl problem in our communities. There are ODs going on daily. And I don't, there's hardly anyone probably has not been touched by addiction.
Right.
And we need to break down that stigma. We need to bring addiction out into the light. We need to start having conversations for the sake of our communities.
How do you not get discouraged, Dan, when you see people going down this rabbit hole every day?
You know, you see that a lot, and you just, I always went from the perspective, I'm trying to be the light in that person's darkness at that time.
Right.
And I took it, I'm retired now, but I took it one call at a time, one person at a time, one family at a time. But the worst thing for me was to go to a family's home to do a death notification on an OD of a child, of a teenager, of a middle schooler. I mean, and it's younger. And it's so dangerous right now. So really, it was helping that one person that you can get to, knowing that the majority are going to fall off, either prison or death.
How hard is it for you to separate yourself from that?
It's difficult because, I mean, I can remember specifically various calls over the 30 years, you know. And it's tough, but it's what you focus on. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was that outlook of I could focus on that 85, 90% of horrid, traumatic situations that a law enforcement officer goes through, or I can focus on the ones where I was able to help people. You know, and it's even just not necessarily saving them, but you know what? Even when you do those unfortunate death notifications, it's having that heart of compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Wearing that uniform, having that badge, and having the heart of compassion for the family that's left, the friends that are left, the classmates that are left, to deal with that traumatic situation. And just knowing that hopefully I played a role in somewhat of a positive impact of kindness and compassion.
How did this come together that the two of you decided, you know what, this story is so compelling, we need to take this to the public? How did this all come to be?
I'll let Tyler cover that one.
I mean, it was by accident for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wanted to run.
Right.
You know, when I first seen him, I was like, oh, man, I can't see this guy now. But
and I'm used to seeing the back of Tyler running, by the way.
So it was definitely by accident, but then... you know, something then greater than us brought us together and helped us figure out what we needed to do.
The only thing I'd add to that is when we did meet face to face after all these years, which was very much a surprise to both of us when that happened, had Tyler not reached out, I wouldn't have reached out. I mean, it was just, okay, well, I ran into him again.
Sure.
Wonderful. Geez, I hope he doesn't stalk me or something, you know. but that was it. And then, we'll talk more about how it happened. But obviously, Tyler's one that eventually decided to reach out to me. It was his. And I come from a spiritual background as well. And I think there's things in play here that go beyond us. Mm-hmm. And one message I also put out, and when you hear Tyler's story, I mean, he went through depression. He went through suicide attempts, all kinds of things that he'll discuss. He's here for a reason. Mm-hmm. And he's here to make a difference. And he's making a difference.
Right.
He's saving more lives than a police officer will ever think about saving.
Sure. So, Tyler, without giving away too much, when it came to rock bottom, was it something that just hit you and you said, look, I can't do this anymore?
I mean, there was always more rock bottoms. You know, I kept digging. As long as I'm alive, I can keep digging a hole, and it can keep changing. So there was no rock bottom for me. There was just a lot of pain and a lot of wonderful people along the way that came into my life and made a difference. And all of that stuff, you know, it beats the disease of addiction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every time you have people come into your life that care about you when most people are running away from you, all of those things matter. Even if you can't see them at that time, they make a difference, you know. And there were a lot of factors, broken heart. You know, you just get tired of digging.
Mm-hmm.
And you get, you know, it gets to a point to where the drugs stop working.
What a great, compelling story. When did you decide to write the book?
When was it? Oh, I've you know, everyone's always told me you need to write a book, you know, because of the stupid things I've done in my life. You know, they're like, it'd be a great book, write about all of these things that you've done. And then as I've got into recovery and started making different decisions, it was all about, if I can write this book in 8 months, I can, and it can make one difference in one person's life, then it's worth it.
Do you hear from people that say, either one of you can answer this, that say, saw this presentation, changed me, you know? Do you hear about this quite a bit?
Every time. Yeah. It really is, every time. It's amazing. When we're done speaking, we keep it informal as we can, right? And when we're done speaking, I always say I'm Tyler's Vanna White, because he's got the compelling story. But yes, we have people come up to us afterwards and start talking and about how they've been affected by a loved one or they themselves with addiction. And we're really trying to break down the barriers between law enforcement and the addiction community as well.
I could talk to you guys for the entire hour, but we're running short on time. But again, folks, if you want to hear this tonight, The Cop and the Ex-Criminal, An Unlikely Friendship, it's going to be at the Wapton Event Center starting at 6:30. Gentlemen, I can't thank you enough for sharing just a little part of your story. Is there anything else you want to add before we wrap it up?
No, thank you so much for having us.
Right.
Thank you. Appreciate
Tyler,
that.
We're glad you're here. Dan, thank you for your service.
Thank you.
All right. It's 919 here at the Voice of the Valley. AM 1450, KBMW. Good morning.
We are the NFHS. That stands for the National Federation of State High School Associations. But really, what we stand for, together with the NDHSAA, are the 27,000 high school sports and performing arts students in North Dakota. And so we stand. We stand for the runners, debate team members, and basketball players. We stand for their coaches, officials, and adjudicators. We stand for the drummers, football players, and actors. We stand for the golfers, singers, and swimmers.